and welcome back to the Silver Screen Siblings. I'm Bradley.
I'm Lily.
And we are here for another wonderful week of movie watching.
Woo! Yeah. This week, we are going to discuss The Hill That I Die On.
What?
The Defense of Twilight.
Oh, I thought that was like a movie.
No.
I'm pretty sure The Hill That I Die On is a movie.
It probably is.
If it's not, we need to make it. It sounds like one of those stuffy, like, Civil War era ones.
With, like, what's his name? Mel Gibson?
But here's the thing. Yes. It also sounds like The Field Where I Died, which some people would say is an underrated episode of The X-Files, but is boring as fuck.
Which one's that one?
Somewhere Mulder thinks that he's a dead Confederate soldier. And he carries his photo around in the field, and he's like, wow, I have a connection to this field.
Yep, and then there's that woman, right?
Yeah, and they're in a Heaven's Gate type situation.
Yeah.
Fun. She dies, drinks that Kool-Aid. Okay, I'm making discoveries of the X-Files I did not want to confront.
That's okay.
This podcast about pasty white people.
Pasty white people.
Because we're doing Twilight.
That's Twilight in a nutshell.
Oh, yeah. The diversity in this movie, it's kind of shit, isn't it?
You just kind of shit in it?
No, the diversity is kind of shit.
Oh, yeah.
In it.
They're all white.
Yeah.
No,
I mean,
there's that.
There's the bad guy. The
not
bad
Mike.
Vampire.
Who's Mike? Who's the other guy?
Oh, Eric.
Eric.
I think is his name. You didn't write it down. I looked at your notes.
I think it is Eric.
I'm going to read her notes again this week. I guess that's slowly becoming her format.
But there's only 2 pages of notes this week as opposed to.
I still
four.
Have not read them yet.
Yeah. But
like,
first.
One of the most wonderful. Wow, I am a Twilight slut. That is the tagline of tonight, because I am too, baby. Sorry, what were you saying?
I only speak the truth. I am a Twilight slut. Okay, no, I think we should first start out with a summary for those who are not Twihards like myself and yourself.
Yes, because when we did Poltergeisty, we didn't do a summary, and so I'm going to do a summary. We talked about this beforehand.
Yeah.
So, Twilight. We open on a gloomy wood in field.
With the deer. Hold on. I have to.
By wooden field, I mean woods.
I have to interrupt here. It's because we need to talk about the Parks and Rec episode where.
Okay, go ahead.
Let me talk. So, this guy wants to put Twilight in their time capsule.
Gotcha.
And he starts talking, and he starts telling Leslie the movie scene by scene. And he goes. We open.
Did I just do it?
That's exactly what he said. And he goes, that it opens on a deer sipping water from a stream. And that's literally where
See,
you were
I didn't
heading.
Even remember that they were sipping water from a stream. So, like.
It's okay. Continue. You're fine.
Okay. So they're in the woods. And. No, they're not in the woods. Just the deer is in the woods.
Yeah, it's just the deer for some reason.
Bella's all like, "Your gloomy, gloomy stuff. My life is about to change."
But she's in Phoenix, Arizona.
The deer is not in Phoenix, Arizona.
No, but she is.
Yes. Mm-hmm. That's in like the next scene. So you're breaking down my scene by scene.
Sorry, I'm not gonna.
It's already falling apart. The summary. It's not gonna happen.
Okay, sorry. My mouth is shut.
No, you shouldn't.
Like,
that's not what I meant.
Bella's. Legs.
Oh, hey-o. No, her legs are wide open, okay? Because she goes into that bedroom and she's like, there's no bed in here, Edward. He's the one who's like, I will kill you if we have sex.
You're jumping 3 books ahead.
Okay. All right, Phoenix. We're in Phoenix, Arizona now. Bella wants to leave her mom. For no reason, actually. Like, she likes her stepdad, but she just wants to leave. So she goes to live with her real dad in Forks, Washington, where it rains perpetually, except for one scene where everyone starts sunbathing because the sun's out. But that's later. Lily just gave me, like, the don't go there yet, stay focused. Okay, so her dad is awkward.
Oh, Charlie.
He has issues connecting. And actually, it's a really nice relationship. It's one of the only good things they do in this movie, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Is kind of
they
build
develop that well.
Their relationship. So Bella shows up at school, and all the guys creepily already know her. One of the first things she hears is, "Oh, you're Bella Swan, the new girl, right?"
It's like her dad, like, went to every single person and was like, my daughter's showing
up. That would be
up.
Weirder than just everyone knowing. Yeah. And there's this guy who's harassing her. Later, he tries to run her over by accident. Yeah, or by not. Him. He is harassing her.
Yeah. Either way.
And then nice guy Mike shows up. He's blonde.
We'll talk about Mike.
He's kind of hot, but, like, another jar of worms.
Yeah, we'll talk about Mike later on. I think I mentioned him in my notes.
Yeah, you do. I can see. Even though I haven't read them, I see the word Mike a couple times. also, cock block. Okay, yeah, that happens. Okay, so Bella meets the Cullens. The Cullens, ironically enough, they have a C as their crest, just like the Cutlers. And they're sexy. They're really sexy. And they walk really slow. Sexy. And they are all really pale. That's not where they're sexy.
They always have a fan blowing in their face, mm-hmm. so their hair is in the...
Sometimes the vampires, when they move, they're on treadmills. So they just glide on screen.
They do. No, this is legit.
It's from, like, knee height, so they're you can definitely tell they're on treadmills.
Yeah.
which is hilarious and also groovy.
So groovy.
So Edward has a reaction when he first sees Bella. And not, like, a sexual or interested kind, like a vomitous kind. Yeah, it's really uncomfortable, and he tries to switch classes and is generally just a dick to her.
Yeah, he's really mean, but it's... We'll talk about that.
And then he ghosts her for, like, a week before they've ever talked. And then he introduces himself like none of that ever happened.
Talk about Tinder date gone wrong.
She falls hard. So they start dating. I don't think anything important. Oh, yeah, she almost gets run over, and he stops it because he's, like, Superman. Actually, he's Batman. Oh, because he's a vampire! He's Batman. That's wild.
He is Batman.
Harpatz is a great actor. He's not in these.
I don't think he's that bad, actually, in these movies.
Oh, so. He's pretty bad.
He doesn't have a lot to work with.
Oh, he's pretty bad.
All right. So, she almost gets hit by the van.
Yeah, and he saves her. Mm-hmm. Oh, he saves her again! They're in...
Oh, yeah.
She's in, a city in Washington.
It's, Port Angeles.
Yes.
Is that a real city?
I have no idea. Forks is, so I think
so
they...
Port
I don't
Angeles
know if they filmed
be.
In Forks. I hope they did, because that would probably help the local economy. Well, tourism, at least.
Sure.
I would go to Forks. Well, anyways, they're in Port Angeles. Mm-hmm. And this is when...
When what?
Well, what happens is Bella is cornered by a lot of creepy, gross men.
Oh, yeah.
And Edward swings in his sexy car, which isn't actually sexy.
It's pretty damn sexy.
No, it's just a product placement. It's not a sexy car.
What car is it?
I don't know.
Is that
but
a
it's
Honda?
Not sexy.
If it's a Honda, it's sexy.
Okay, another kink. Lily's a kink for Hondas.
My kink is Honda.
In this scene, we also found another one of Lily's kinks. She's like, wow, I wish someone could come save me from one of these types of rapey situations. And I'm like, whoa, that's
so
a kink, Lily.
She's cornered by these guys, and Edward swoops in. It's threatening to, like, beat them up. And I just have this thing for
fantasy.
Men who are going to save me
you
from
have
situations
a fantasy of this.
In which I am either, I don't know, it's the same thing. I told you this. It's what I feel when I watch any kind of Sherlock Holmes movie, when I...
It's a fantasy.
It's not a fantasy.
Awesome, when does
I
Sherlock
like,
Holmes, like, save
Mulder
women?
Does the same thing. Mulder does the same thing for me, is I feel like...
Scully saves Mulder all the time.
I know, but,
Okay, moving on. So they start dating. Finally, Edward and Bella start dating. She meets his family. They get upset because they want to eat her, but they also don't want to eat her.
They can't
she's dating
eat her.
Edward.
Yeah.
He wants to eat her, but he wants to have sex with her more, and she really wants to have sex with him. There's this creepy scene where he creeps into our window because he does that periodically. And they're like making out, and then she's like, no, he's like, he says no because Bella always wants it. Yeah.
In regards to the story, it kind of goes into the framing issue in which a lot of external issues aren't really taken into consideration.
Okay. Yeah. So it's like, it's smutty. Twilight's kind of smutty.
Smutty.
You just have to take it. On its own.
Yeah. But, well,
okay. It's
I
like Beauty and the Beast,
because
we talked about Beauty and the Beast. It's, you know, ostensibly, like, creepy, but the way it's framed in the movie is not supposed to be.
Yeah.
But that's a different time, different podcast, different episode. So, in the third act of Twilight, they introduce a conflict that they didn't really need to introduce. It's introduced to make the movie, like, 2 hours, well, the book, an appropriate length. Basically, Edward has graduated from saving Bella from creepy men to really creepy vampires.
Yeah.
So they run away. So the vampire shows up at, like, a baseball game they're all playing together that Bella's at, and he wants to eat Bella because she has super blood.
But most importantly, he's threatened by Edward, who decides to defend Bella when he senses that James wants to eat her.
So Bella has to leave her dad, and it's actually really sad because she's like, I hate being here, I hate you. And
but she doesn't mean it.
Because like they really like each other, I thought.
But she has to leave because James is coming after her.
Yeah, James is the evil vampire.
Yeah, James is the evil vampire who's trying to kill her, and she has to run away so that she's not murdered. But in order to do that and to allow, you know, to make her dad know that she's serious about leaving and not run after her, she has to say some pretty horrible things, which is sad.
Yeah. And then James, in the end, actually dupes her into running to him with a video he obtained of her as a kid at a dance studio.
Yep, that is correct.
So she actually, it's all moot. She could have just, like, not been a dick to her dad.
Well, a lot of people, when it gets to that point, they think that she was stupid for, you know, falling for it. And
no, she's not stupid for falling for it. And that's not the case.
And I know that's something that, like, I used to complain about when I first read the book.
Really? I never felt like she was
stupid. Wow, she's so stupid. How could she? But that's totally not the case. He, like, manipulated her into thinking that he had her mother. Of course she's going to run after.
Actually, I don't think Bella's stupid, actually. Like,
No, she's not.
I'll complain about Bella a lot because she does... I mean, just because it's not the best movie, she'll do some stupid things.
Anyways, so James has her. What happens next?
Edward comes to save her in a surprisingly well choreographed fight, I think.
Yeah,
for the movie.
The effects were great.
It's kind of neat. They're like jumping all over the place. He flies through some windows.
Yeah.
Through the floorboards. They tear
the
apart.
Fire. There's fire.
Yeah, it's just Edward and James, and then the whole Cullen family shows up and they tear James apart and
burn him. It's kind of badass.
See, James had bit Bella, so Edward has to suck his venom out of her.
Yeah. Because she's slowly turning into a vampire, but Edward doesn't want that for her. Mm-hmm. Neither does Dr. Cullen, whose name is blanking on... Carlisle.
Yeah,
Carlisle. Obviously.
And it's also the only sucking going on between Edward and Bella. Because she doesn't want to be a vampire. That's what I'm saying. He's not going to suck her blood. That's what I'm saying.
Yes, that is correct. It is indeed the
Our
only...
parents listen to this.
Mom and Dad, I am so, so, so sorry. But
no, I'd have made that joke around them.
Yeah. So so Edward sucks all of the venom out, and she is just unconscious then.
Mm-hmm. And then she wakes up, and they make up some story about she fell through a window, which I guess is believable for Bella, because she's... Accident-prone?
They do pretty okay at establishing that, particularly
in the
books.
I don't know if they do. Yeah, in the books, not
in
the movie,
though. Yes, they do, because remember she slips on the ice when she goes out to her truck?
Oh.
They talk about how she's clumsy throughout the movie.
Do
they? They do. Huh. I think you overlooked that.
Probably.
I'm pausing this to move on to a new topic.
Okay,
so all's well that ends well.
They go to prom, and I love prom in movies.
That is
so
such a
much.
Good scene. Unironically, it is a good scene. That scene in the gazebo with the lights is kind of stunning.
I mean, I like
the visuals.
I wish my prom looked like that.
Right?
But
what kind
I
of
wouldn't
prom
call
looks like
it
that?
A good scene.
Mine is at like a old farm container.
There is this fantastic moment where I shipped Bella and Anna Kendrick. Early in the movie,
that's fanfic.
They're doing, and it exists like that. They're doing dress shopping, and Anna Kendrick puts on a dress, and she's like, "Wow, my boobs look great in this dress." And so later at prom, it's one of the only I think like genuine moments in the movie. Bella looks at Anna Kendrick, they make eye contact, and she like is like, "Wow, your boobs look great."
Yeah,
and
it's
I was like,
"A great friendship establishing."
No, that's romantic.
Okay, so they go to prom,
and
Edward and Bella are still in love.
Yeah, and he doesn't make her a vampire like three movies. And then Victoria's there for some reason.
Victoria, so she was James's companion.
Yeah.
That's kind of important, actually.
She's also future Bryce Dallas Howard, but that is a different movie.
I cannot talk about Bryce Dallas Howard right now.
Because Lily gets her confused with Jessica Chastain.
Always and forever, never again.
It's really bad.
I have no idea who is who. Literally no idea. I still don't know who the one in Black Mirror is to this day. And we've had about 7 different discussions about it.
She can't. If I show her 2 pictures, like, she cannot differentiate. She just has no idea.
Literally no clue.
Okay.
I really thought it was Jessica Chastain in Jurassic World.
Well, neither are in this movie, so you're good.
Thank goodness.
All right, moving on to notes.
To the notes that I made? Sure. So now that we've established a plot.
All right. These notes are labeled Twilight.
Wow, so original.
And harking back to the beginning of this, the first note is, Twilight is the hill I die on.
There, I feel like there are two hills that I die on. The first being that Twilight is indeed a good series.
Okay.
And the second being that 90 Day Fiancé is a good reality TV show.
That is not what I was expecting. Oh, man. Moving on.
But in regards to the first hill, yeah, I think Twilight's actually an okay series, unironically.
And we're never going to do an episode on 90 Day Fiancé. So
no, we're not. But I think it's actually important to note that I feel this way because it was kind of the first series that, like, the first teen romance series that I read in, like, the sixth grade.
Yeah.
And it was kind of a big part of my, you know, tween
phases.
I did,
too. I think it was in fifth grade, though, yeah.
It was kind of like a nostalgic, so, like, when I see it, you know that feeling you get when you, like, connect with something?
Yeah.
And a lot of it's because you connected with it when you were younger, mm-hmm. as if I had a vampire boyfriend and werewolf lover, which I definitely did.
Women were in love with that word.
Yeah.
Like, that was a, and men, too, probably. I just didn't talk to any men that were.
But
people were probably in love with
it. When I talk about Twilight, it comes from a place of this weird emotional connection that definitely stems from stuff that I've, you know, experienced as a kid in literature.
Yeah.
Which I think is important to know.
Okay. So the first thing Lily wrote down after Twilight is a Die On.
What?
I think this is what it says. Edward is coming the entire movie.
It's that face he makes when she first walks into
A cum face?
Her parents listen to this. And I can neither confirm
How
nor
much
deny.
Porn do you watch? God. Because I think it's not a lot based off of that sentence.
Well, please, if anybody knows what I'm talking about, reach out. Because as soon as she walks into the biology classroom, his like eyebrow furrows and he just like looks constipated but like kind of pleasured.
No,
basically.
God. No, that is definitely not.
All right. well, I think it looks like he is having a great time, but in the worst way possible.
Oh, God.
What a good character choice, Arpat.
Yeah.
Just a sexually frustrated vampire.
Why, maybe he was coming.
Maybe he was.
At Arpat's, reach out. Let us know.
Arpat, reach out, please.
Okay, the next one, of course, is that Mike is the unsung hero. Hashtag Team Mike. Mike is actually,
he's a good dude, I think.
And he's a good friend, because, you know, Edward gives off warning signs, mm-hmm. obviously, because he's a vampire who wants to eat Bella.
Yeah.
And he's kind of like, I don't know if he's a good dude. And it takes a lot to kind of stand up to your friends and be like, is everything okay in your relationship?
Yeah.
So I support Mike.
Well, that's in regards to, like, I think I mentioned this later on, but he's kind of a quirky dude.
Yeah.
And I think it's really cool that they have kind of a normal character.
Yeah.
And, you know, this world of
kind
of
like
vampire.
Anna Kendrick's kind of like the normal character.
Yeah, but she kind of ruins that later on in the series. And I honestly cannot remember what happens to Mike. But in the first movie, he's like really nice to Bella. And he shows her around and he's her friend. And honestly, I kind of wish she gave him a chance.
And
plus,
he cares about
her in the movie.
Yeah. He jumps up on a table at one point, and he's goofy.
He's
you're
a
right.
goofy,
he is
quirky
goofy.
Dude.
Yeah.
And she would have had a much more normal relationship with Mike than.
Yeah, but
with,
she'd never be a vampire.
But she would never. But she's not a vampire. But yeah, Mike is kind of a normal guy, and I really appreciate that they put someone normal. And I guess that's kind of the point of him is that he's a normal guy. In this amidst. Craziness.
Yeah. Like I like Mike.
Yeah.
I like Mike. So the next thing, Lily was looking for the great thematic overarching qualities of this movie, I think. Because she wrote cold versus hot symbolism. Wow. Stephanie Meyer, writing these books. Smyre. I actually thought about that. I don't know what that's in reference
to. This is in reference. So, in the intro, there's mm-hmm. a scene of the deer.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have, it's kind of like that cold, eerie, foresty, and then they give a shot right to her in Phoenix.
Oh, okay.
So it's like the idea that she came from Phoenix, this really hot, they talk about that a lot, actually.
Yeah.
They make it a big point that she's from Phoenix, Arizona. And she's
even though she doesn't
cold,
look like it, because she's pale.
She's pale.
Totally pale. I know people like that, though.
Yeah. but she moves to this cold, rainy. So she has a difference in life, and Smire really, she really goes for it. And I think that's interesting that mm-hmm. she, but I guess that's kind of the point of an author is to introduce symbolism into your stories. So, I don't know, just something I caught on to,
fair enough.
As a movie critic myself.
In the making. All right, the next, I don't know why you wrote that after things about Mike and Edward, because that happens in the beginning of the movie, but you wrote it after those things?
I think I forgot to take notes.
Yeah, and I think maybe we had a conversation, too, about that at that point.
Yeah.
Then you wrote, TBH, our Pat is hot. That's debatable in Twilight.
I don't think it is. I think he's kind of hot.
He's really affected.
Well, he's hot in general.
He looks like he's been run through, like, one of those makeup apps the whole movie.
He just face-tunes himself the entire movie.
Yeah.
Well, that's kind of the point, is their makeup on the vampires is supposed to look that way. And
it looks bad, though.
It looks bad. I don't enjoy the choice, but I think he's kind of hot in the movie.
Yeah, how are you? I like our pets a lot, but I don't think he's very hot.
I think he's hot.
Then you wrote, wow, I am a Twilight slut. Of course, we all are. That's why we're here.
We are
all
we're doing Twilight sluts.
The next is a quote. You're very difficult to read. Oh, Edward says that! Because he can't... Okay, so Edward can read minds. That's his vampire power, which I don't know if Twilight established that, but
Seth
Smire was like, I like the X-Men movies, and I want them to be with sexy vampires. Edward can read minds except for Bella's, because she's special. And so when it says you're very difficult to read, that's some foreshadowing.
It is foreshadowing.
I'm doing finger guns right now.
I think that's, it was just a quirky.
Yeah.
Quirky
nice
line.
Nice foreshadowing, just like the hot and cold.
Just like the hot and cold.
Next is a quote from me, talking about the guy that was harassing her. Because what it is he throws a Twizzler at her, and then he tries to throw his van at Bella. It escalates really quickly. But I think the series is a plane. In the final book, you teach her to plane towards Bella.
Just right into Bella. No one else does.
Except that Edward's there to save the day.
Of course he is. Always.
All right, the next one. Saving me from being hit by a car. Hot. Okay, that is... No, Lily has inserted herself. She is living out her kink on these pages.
I just put myself in Bella's shoes. If I was saved, I was being hit by a car, and somebody put their hand out and stopped it, I would just be forced to marry them. I don't know how it works. It's just the law.
Okay, next she skipped a long ways in the movie.
I got really invested.
She wrote, music is killer. Bella's theme fuck me up. Which is true. Bella's theme's really good.
Bella's theme's fantastic.
But this is like an hour and a half before it shows up in the movie that you wrote this, so I have no idea what you were thinking.
I was just thinking about the music.
Okay.
Which you agree with. You like the music.
Yeah, I really like... That's one of the things... I do like the music in these movies, because I hired some pretty good composers for
it. Arpat?
Exactly, Arp. Yeah, he does. Yeah, he does music for this.
Yeah.
He sings like... That's kind of how he sounds. Can't understand a word he's saying.
But he's good.
He's good. He's really good. That's not to.
We are not to Arpat love us. We are Arpat fan pages here.
Yes, we do.
It's nothing personal.
Okay. Next, poor Mike. Again, we love Mike.
We
stand Mike. I think we stand Mike. We stand Mike.
Well, the reason I wrote poor Mike is because Bella just kind of turns him down for prom.
Yeah, but then he gets a date with Anna Kendrick.
And then he gets a date, but they break up eventually.
Do they?
So, yeah.
Oh, because he loves Bella.
I don't think that's why.
He is the fourth part of this triangle. You have Jacob, Edward, Mike. No one's ever team Mike, but we're team Mike.
It's like in a regular shape. So, like, it's a, like, you know, a triangle for the three, and then all the way off to the corner is Mike on the other side of the plane.
Okay, next she wrote, nothing says, asterisk, non-suspicious. Like, you can Google it.
Oh, yeah!
Because he doesn't want her to know that he's a vampire. So he's like, Google it, Bella. Google me. Google my name. Okay, moving on. Now, the next is also a quote from Edward. He's like, Bella, I don't think we should be friends. And Lily wrote, okay. Because he doesn't mean, like, more than friends or fuck buddies. He's like, get away from me.
I do not want to be near you.
You are not repulsive. She's the opposite of repulsive, but he acts repulsive around her.
Yeah.
See? Yeah. Toxic relationship.
Hot and cold.
Yeah, because that's the theme. The theme of the series. Next, another quote. Your moods... Oh, this is a good line, actually. Your mood swings are giving me whiplash.
Yeah!
That's like a quality line. That's a sick burn.
Who says that? Oh, yeah, Bella says that. Yeah. To Edward, which is feisty.
That's some actual good writing. Congrats to you. Shit, I don't remember the screener.
Smire?
Okay, yeah, that's probably... Maybe it's a Smire line. I don't know.
It's a good line.
Yeah.
I feel like we need to use that more often.
Yeah.
Feel free to steal it. Smire, do not sue me. Please don't.
But here's the thing. The next line she wrote, it's funny because we were just like talking about how good of a line that was. And then Lily's next note is, look, I never said the dialogue was good, just that I die in defense of the storyline.
It wasn't
that
one.
I hope
one.
You don't because it's not a good storyline.
Okay. We've discussed.
You feel attacked? Okay, whatever.
I do feel attacked, but we've discussed why I defend it and why I will continue to defend it. Mm-hmm. And I think must have been a random cliche conversation that we were having, because that mood swing line is actually really, really good. Mm-hmm. So I think there must have been a line afterwards that was really cliche.
It's probably like 20. It was when she's talking to Jacob, who's her friend.
Yeah.
On the beach, and it's something about the legend of the Cullens and the werewolves.
That was very, it's poorly introduced, I feel like.
Yes.
And particularly in the movie. And I think the dialogue was just really bad in that scene.
Also in that scene, in another note you said, I point out that there are more Twizzlers in that scene.
Product placement.
This movie is obsessed with Twizzlers. Or they could be Red Vines.
No, Twizzlers.
Some people die by Red Vines.
I hate all licorice.
I do too. But I would rather die for Red Vines than Twizzlers.
Is that a hill you die on?
That is a hill I will step onto. I will not do anything close to dying on that hill, but they're all over this movie. It makes me sick, but it's also, oh, red, they're red, it's blood. Oh, the Twizzlers are symbolic of blood. Because they're red and stringy, like when you get your throat bit, blood comes down.
Hello?
Like a Twizzler.
Are you okay?
It's thematic.
I really don't.
The Twizzler, they're blood. It's the color of blood.
They
that's
do
what
not
Twizzlers
represent
are in this movie.
The muscles of the neck. I really don't think that's the purpose of Twizzlers.
Everyone's eating them, just like Edward would eat Bella's neck.
Oh my gosh. All right, keep going.
Okay, I just found something incredible about this movie, and Lily's shutting me down. Oh, this is the bad line I think she's talking about. It's Jacob says this. Shit, I don't want to mispronounce the name of this American tribe.
Yeah.
But he's basically, Jacob's like, do you know that we're descended from wolves? Which I think is bad in cultural appropriation and misrepresentation of that culture, from what I've heard. Like I said, we don't do a lot of research for this. That is something very
negative.
Yeah,
we'll have to read some Twilight message boards.
Yeah, we probably should. Well, I don't know. They probably stand Twilight there.
Well, we all stand Twilight.
True, but we can point out how it's problematic. Yeah. And how it's still
racist. That is pretty problematic.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's kind of the same thing, because the Italians in the next book are the vampires.
Oh, yeah, I forgot.
Yeah.
Well, no, are they Italian, or did they just live in Italy?
No, they're Italian. Mm. So it's kind of like the same...
Is Carlisle Italian?
Carlisle is not Italian.
Okay, because I know Edward's American.
Edward's American. Esme is Spanish, I think in the books.
She's not Spanish in this movie.
I think Carlisle turned her in Spain.
No, it's the Spanish influenza was killing Edward.
Oh my gosh. Oh no.
Esme was not killing Edward.
Okay.
The Spanish influenza was.
That's getting cut. All right.
But since we're talking about how these are racist, the next line is, there's so much sexual harassment.
There's a lot of sexual harassment in this movie.
Yeah, I mean, he legitimately stalks Bella.
All right, is now the time to talk about the framing? When do I mention that?
Go for it.
So
I don't see framing on this page, so I'll see the next page.
So here's the thing.
Yeah.
In the framing of the storyline, him creeping into her window is not weird. And I understand, and from an external point of view, of course we can be like, that's horrible and harassment, and we cannot have that.
No.
In the framing of the story,
It's weird. It's creepy still.
It's weird. It's creepy.
It almost makes me want to go Team Jacob, but I never would because he's annoying and also harassy. So
it's, yeah. In the story, and feel free to correct me if I'm wrong, in the story, Bella does not believe it's weird.
Because she's fucking 17 years old. Nothing against 17-year-olds. But she's young. And she's kind of romantic.
In the framing of the story,
yeah,
there are a lot of things that are not permissible in reality. No. And that happens with a lot of literature and a lot of media is that...
Yeah, but this also sends the message that, hey, you like someone, you should stalk them.
No, you should absolutely not do that.
No, but that's what this movie's kind of saying.
But again, it's a different reality than the one that we live in.
But Forks is a real place.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying, call the cops if a man
please, for the love
you,
of God, call the cops. Yeah. But again, it's not your fault if they're stalking you.
Of course not.
No victim blaming
here.
Yeah,
no, we never. If I ever do, please smack me.
And again, if I am just missing something and I don't understand framing in literature, let me know.
No, I think you're legit. I just disagree.
That's fine. And of course, do not stalk anybody. Do not sexually harass anybody in real life.
No. But that being said...
Oh, no.
The next line that Lily wrote was the idea of someone saving me from being raped is so sexy.
Listen. You cannot tell me that the idea of someone saving you... I don't really want to discuss this any further. I'm
Ever
Golden's
a cat, and he growled at... It looks like he wrote gays.
Yeah!
It's not gays.
It is not. He
but
growls.
Knowing this and how problematic it is, if it were gays, I would not be surprised.
He growls at... Who is it? Who does he growl at?
The guys that are trying to rape Bella.
Oh, yeah! Mm-hmm. He, like, gets out of his car and then, like, snarls and growls at them. Edward growls at these people who are trying to attack, which is great, like... Get rid of them.
Well, like, Bella's also a strong, independent woman. She doesn't need to be saved all the time.
No, you are correct. But in this moment, he does save her, and he does help her out in this instance, and he growls at them. And in that moment, I was certain he was indeed a bobcat.
Gotcha.
Not a lion, as they mention later on in the story.
No.
I really saw a bobcat there.
The next couple lines are about how he's a cat. Edward makes Lily feel safe. He makes me feel dirty. You want to shower.
When do I say that?
You just wrote, Edward makes me feel safe. So you want him watching you in your room at night, apparently.
That is not...
I'm turning the page. We're on page two. The next notes were about things that were kind of extraneous to the plot. So it doesn't... Like, the bad vampire James and Victoria, they're killing people or something. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter that much. Lily... She's going on about framing. She wrote, in the frame of the movie, Edward is not creepy. She really likes to nail that point in. Edward is not creepy, even though he is.
He is creepy. He is creepy in our reality.
Next, we go to the famous meadow scene, where he shows off that he glows, he sparkles.
Oh, my gosh.
Because his skin is glowing, and it's sparkly. Just
magical.
Like some people's skin. They sparkle and glow when they're in the sunlight sometimes.
What are you talking about? What people have you met that sparkle? Was that you in the movie? Are you Kristen Stewart?
Definitely not me.
You're not Kay Stu?
I wish I was Kay Stu.
I wish I was Kay Stu.
Yeah, her career's
on the up again?
Yeah.
Really?
So the dialogue in the scene, Lily drew some wonderful parallels to another fantastic movie with a wonderful romance. She wrote the line, "This is the skin of a killer." Sounds like something that would come right out of Anakin Skywalker's mouth.
Uh-huh.
And Star Wars Episode 2. And mm-hmm. So we realize that Star Wars Episode 2 is basically Twilight.
It really is.
The relationship is that fucked up.
No, seriously. The only difference is that he doesn't actually murder Bella in the books, but he gets real close to.
No, but then the next line is, "I killed people," and Bella's like, "I don't care," and that is exactly what
Episode 2.
That is exactly what Anakin says. And Padme's like, "I love you anyways, even though I shouldn't.
You're totally gonna murder me, but I love you so much.
Let's raise our kids together, even though you've killed kids."
What a fantastic idea.
Uh-huh. But Lily wrote
That's kind of what Bella and Edward do.
Yeah. And like Bella, Edward's like, "I've killed people," and Bella's like, Daddy, do it to me is what Lily wrote.
Daddy, do it to me.
It looks like you wrote dad here. I think it's supposed to say do it to me, but it looks like dad, do it to me.
That's what...
I said daddy, because calling your significant other dad would be very weird.
Don't kink shame people.
No, daddy's fine. Dad is...
Okay, that's fair. That's fair. I thought you were referring to daddy as a term.
No, don't call your SO dad.
Do not call your partner dad.
Yeah, that... I mean, no, if you do, don't feel bad. Even though we just basically said feel bad, don't
it's
feel bad.
It's a little weird.
But it's, you do you.
What's the next one?
Well, Lily's favorite scene. Edward is so cute, but I have no idea what the scene is because she didn't write what it was.
Let me rack my brain real quick.
Gotcha.
My favorite scene? Oh, I think... No, I'm talking... Okay. Mm-hmm. So Edward brings Bella over to his house for dinner to meet the family. And the family makes dinner for her, even though they don't eat real food.
Oh, yeah, and it's really sweet.
And it's really, really cute. Like, not only do I love Carlisle and Esme, but I think it's the sweetest... I do think Carlisle is so hot.
I think he looks like he's run through two makeup apps, but whatever.
He's run through Facetune 1 and Facetune 2. But I think it's just really sweet. And that's probably one of my favorite scenes because it kind of shows and sets up the unity that they end up...
Fair enough. Because they all tear apart her assailant.
And of course.
And burn him.
Rosalie's
burn
a little
him
bitch.
Like they burn dinner.
Wow, that's a parallel.
Another foreshadowing.
Yeah, they don't burn the dinner.
Well, Bella doesn't eat it anyway, so you wrote that Bella should have just eaten dinner, even though Edward's like, oh, she already ate, because he's like, oh, my family's so embarrassing.
So she doesn't like refuse it right then and there.
No. Edward does for her.
Edward does for her. And she originally is like, yeah, of course I'll eat it. Mm-hmm. And I was just thinking, in my position, I would have been like, I will eat that food that you just made for me because that is the nicest thing in the world.
Even if it's made of people.
I don't think I'd go that far.
She
personally.
Wants to fit in with the vampires. You got to do things to fit in with the vampires.
I don't want Dahmer making me dinner.
Dahmer is not his... How dare you?
What?
Though Dahmer's blonde, Carlisle's blonde.
Is Carlisle Jeffrey Dahmer? Another parallel.
That's up to
interpretation.
That's a theory right there.
I'm sure there's a fanfic about it.
Ooh. All right, I want to move on from that because that also makes me feel like I want to take a shower. there's a quote. Everyone would be implicated if this ends badly. As in...
Rosalie says that.
And then Bella's like, as in if I become the meal...
That line is so good, but the best part about that scene, again, Rosalie says everyone would be implicated if this doesn't end well, and Bella replies, you mean I become the meal? But the best part about this is that no one reacts. They all just let it fly, and no one laughs.
Because they know it's true.
Because they know it's true. Because
they were planning on eating her, probably.
They're just fattening her up. This is a... They talk about that. They kind of relate the story to... Hansel and
do they?
Yes, they do. Why? I think Edward kind of talks about how vampires kind of entrap their anyways.
Oh, okay.
But that's what they were doing with dinner.
Yeah. I want to get to this next. So Bella, we are talking about Bella. She wants Edward.
Wants him so bad.
So they go to his room, and she's like, "There's no bed in here," because she wants to have sex. And that's when I decided to start calling Edward Bedward.
From this moment on, we will refer to Edward as...
He's Bedward.
Bedward. Which is ironic, because...
He has no bed!
He has no bed.
Don't need a bed to have sex, though, Bella. Don't worry.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. She, so they fly through the trees for a bit, because he's a vampire. They fly, but
yeah,
not with wings.
I kind of wish I was Bella in that scene. Do you know how cool it would be just to, like, run around super fast and climb, like, pine trees?
While your theme plays in the background?
While your own theme plays in the background. Mm-hmm. I'll carry around a boombox with me as I'm sprinting around the woods.
Well, you're hanging on to Edward. You're carrying the boombox.
No,
Edward's
I'm Edward.
You.
I'm Bedward.
Oh, you're Bedward. Okay.
I'm Bedward. I am sprinting around, but I'm also my own significant other because I want my own theme.
Yeah. You want to know something funny?
What?
Bedward would also be, like, their name, Bella and Edward. But it can't be because there's no bed because they're not having sex.
Bedward is non-existent.
The next line is another quote from me. So Bella just sits there and watches Edward play piano, and I was mean, and I was like, wow, she really can do nothing.
So poor Bella gets shit on by Bradley this entire movie because he feels like she doesn't do anything.
She doesn't really, though. She's a very passive protagonist.
This scene is supposed to be really pretty, and the shots, I think it's a pretty, like, it's a prettily lit scene.
Yeah, the direction of this movie is good. Props to Catherine Hardwick.
Yeah, so I guess Bradley just has this thing against Bella that she doesn't do much, and it's perfectly encapsulated in this scene where he is playing piano and she's literally sitting right next to him,
yeah, just
doing nothing as he's playing her theme, mind you, and she's sitting there with that stone cold glare.
I'm sorry, I started reading the next note. So we love Mike. I'm gonna preface that. Team Mike, we absolutely love him. But there's a scene where he starts shaking his butt in the diner window.
Oh yeah.
Bella's father's friend has, like, just died, and they decided to put Mike's shaking butt in the window. And Lily's note on that, wow, Mike, now I know why you didn't make it far in the series.
Yeah, I lost a little bit of respect for him in that scene.
No, I love Mike.
We love
Mike. He's a goof. He's a lovable goof.
He's a goof.
They would have had blonde children that weren't, I was going to say weren't pasty, but it's okay if you're pasty. That's okay.
Yeah.
Actually, they probably wouldn't be pasty because she is also very...
Yeah. But the point is...
Pale.
It's just a little weird that... does he not know that Charlie's sitting, like, right there? Not only... No,
he was doing it for Charlie.
No, he was not. Nobody shakes their butt for a police
officer.
That
is another ship. I just made it.
Charlie and Mike.
Mike and Charlie. No, he's underage. That's weird. No.
Oh, we unship that. That ship is docked.
Okay. In the last book, when they're all 18, Mike... shows up at the wedding, brokenhearted. Bella's dad, also brokenhearted. He's just lost his daughter. Mike's lost the love of his life. They meet their eyes. They step out onto the dance floor. They circle each other. Their arms clasp. Their bodies press together. The mingled tears, their lost love, slide down their faces as they... as they press together on the dance
You are
floor.
Writing fanfic as we...
That was steamy.
But I just want to make sure everybody's overage in this scenario.
Yeah,
everybody's
exactly,
overage.
All 18, yeah. My Bella's dad's definitely over 18. I want to write that now.
Wattpad? Wattpad, excuse me.
Okay, we're getting down. We're almost done with these, even though we have, like, 45 minutes left in the movie. So Bella's dad's a cliche, because he likes to drink beer, and he's loading his gun as Edward comes to pick Bella up.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. And product placement.
Yeah, oh, yeah, shit, our friend Carol, who watches with us. Carol, wonderful person.
Shout out.
She notices that the two beers on the table are lined up so that the logo is half on each. But together, the two beers form the beer logo.
Now, do I remember what brand that was? Absolutely
there's
not.
You can read it. There's just this big R.
Yeah.
And maybe it's a Washington thing, maybe it's a sports thing, maybe it's a movie thing. No idea.
No.
Just like the Twizzlers. Oh, the R was red, though. Blood. Symbolic.
You can't see my blinking eyes, but they're blinking many a time.
I hate Lily.
And what is next?
I'm quitting this podcast and spinning off onto my own. Or I only talk about the symbolism of product placement. All right, next. Esme is the cool mom being all nice to Bella, of course.
Yeah, she shows up to baseball and Bella, and she's like, yeah. I'll show you what happens at the game.
Mm-hmm. And Bella, what does she do?
She watches.
Really? Big surprise.
What,
she's such an active protagonist.
You think a human is going to play baseball with a bunch of vampires?
She could,
saw that
she
scene.
Could. Bella's a strong, independent woman. She can take care of herself.
Listen.
The movie just decides that she can for some
She
reason.
Definitely is. That being said, she cannot run as fast as Rosalie.
No. But Rosalie isn't running because she's the catcher.
No, she's not. She hits the ball in the first scene.
Oh,
she gets out.
Oh, you're right. You're
she
right.
She gets out because
That's
Edward
my
runs
bad.
Faster.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. But.
Okay. Next we skip. That's when James
Wait,
shows
wait,
up.
go back.
What?
I know what you can get me for Christmas.
What?
I want a baseball jersey.
Yeah.
Color on the back. I want it now.
Okay, that is on the internet, so I won't forget, I guess.
Thank you. Everybody remind Bradley come December.
Yes, please. I will get that for Lily, and I'll get one for myself.
We are the only base. I hate baseball, but the only baseball team that I support are the Cullens.
Yes, I agree. And we can twin as sibling twins who aren't twins. We can twin as not twin siblings.
Not a fan of that. Let's
Okay, moving on, Charlie, that's when Bella tells Charlie she's leaving. It's really sad. I was really sad. I was like, oh, I don't like this part of the movie.
The one relationship really that they develop really well.
Yeah.
I guess that's just a stepping stone.
And then, but they're fine. They're not fine. They're like BFFs. I said, he's really sad when she gets married, which is why he flees into Mike's arms at the wedding. In my fanfic.
That's not canon. You can't do that.
It is now. We have 50 shadesing this.
Smire? Smire, can we get official?
Smire, I am 50 shadesing the relationship between Mike and Bella's dad.
Charlie.
We're doing a trilogy. A million word fanfic that becomes a trilogy, and it's canon. I'm 50 shadesing this. I'm serious.
Okay, I hope you're not. Is there anything else I wrote?
Alice and Jasper, they're Edward siblings. They do a terrible job keeping an eye on Bella because they're watching her when James is chasing her.
Yeah, they're standing at the hostess desk just, like, loving on each other.
Yeah, they do nothing.
And she walks right out the door. And I was like, you have one job in this world, and it's to protect Bella, and you can't even do that.
And they have, like, Superman levels of hearing and seeing and sensing. And Alice, they just do not give a fuck. They want her to die.
Wow. Wow, that's an interesting take. Maybe they just faked being nice to her because they wanted her to die.
Are we 50 Shades in this, too? Is it also becoming canon now?
They don't kill people in 50 Shades.
No, but I'm just... Do you get that? No. When I say it's because 50 Shades was a Twilight...
fanfic, yeah.
And then it became, like, a legitimate
book series. Is this what this is?
So, yeah, that's what I'm going to do. That's what we're doing. We have two left. One, this isn't about the movie at all. It's Lily getting very defensive about herself. She says, it's not a kink, it's anxiety.
Okay. This is the point that I want to make, and I'm so glad we're finally here. No one can make fun of me because of this. The reason that I like it when people make me feel safe is because I have anxiety, and that means I'm scared of everything, and I'm scared of being murdered.
Okay, way to make me feel bad about joking about your kink.
Thank you. Yeah, do not joke about my anxiety,
No,
sister.
You should never do that.
And that's the reason why I like people who make me feel safe. Mm-hmm. So, not a kink. I'm just anxious.
Okay. Way to bring it down, just like the movie does, because it gets super dark at the end. That's your last note. James steps on Bella's leg to break it, and it's really dark.
Yeah, it was all of a sudden, too.
Like it feels almost like it's like, wow, this movie earned its PG-13 rating.
It's just a strange, I mean, I get what they were going for, because it's kind of a dark idea to begin with. Yeah. But for the most part, like, even visually, it's really light and airy and in the beginning. And then
it's gloomy as fuck.
But it's like a cloudy gloomy, not like a thunderstorm.
And there are no thunderstorms in the scene.
Okay, no, I know. But so the ballet studio is really, really dark. Yeah. And all of a sudden, James comes over and steps not only on her leg, but her femur. Mm-hmm. And, right?
Sure.
Actually, I don't think it's
her femur. I'm not a doctor. I don't know.
I don't know, because she wears a boot and it doesn't go all the way. Anyways. So he, like, steps onto her leg to break
really
it. And
intense.
It's and you hear it crack. It's really rough. And you see it, like, they show it, too.
Yeah. And then that scene ends, he dies, all that stuff happens, Arpad starts singing while Bella's flashbacking to the relationship.
He's not actually singing.
No, Arpad's is.
I know,
but
he's
Edward's
Edward is not
but
Arpad's
is.
Song.
And, yeah, it's...
While Edward's sucking out the blood. Just
that's
visualize.
How he goes, that's how the singing is. he's not a bad thing. I'm being mean.
We love Arpat. Please do not. Arpat, love us. We love you.
Oh, shit. I just spilled my drink. Oh, no, the notebook.
Okay.
Oh, actually, it's fine, actually.
Okay.
Okay.
Is there anything else we want to touch on? The prom scene?
Twilight. Okay, the end. Weird.
The prom scene's just great.
It's where
Why do
I
you love-
ship. What?
Why do you love prom scenes so much
in
movies?
Oh, I love, like, prom scenes and festivals. And, like, maybe in St. Louis, when we watched that, I was so excited about the World's Fair. I was like, when's the World's Fair? When's it coming? Because I fucking loved that it was coming up. Because it's so exciting. That's when people are just get excited about things. Because life is boring, but this is like a, wow, this is super cool.
But the point is, Bella wasn't excited about the prom.
And she got excited because she has a date.
With Edward. But
she
could have had a date.
You can love it without having a date.
She could have had a date with Mike.
Yeah, because she doesn't know.
And she wouldn't have gone with a broken leg.
She
doesn't
know how wonderful he is, but her dad knows.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. So that's Twilight.
Yep. And are we calling it quits here, huh?
Yeah, sure.
Great. Let us know if you feel satisfied about our discussion about Twilight. I know I do. I feel satisfied just like Edward, the whole movie.
Yeah. Well, thanks for listening.
Yeah. This has been the Silver Screen Siblings.
Bye.
Bye.